Well, good morning.
Oh, it sounds like you're about to start a corporate Zoom call. Well, good morning. So great to see all of you on this Zoom call. We've had a hell of a month. Let's keep this momentum.
We beat our projections.
Dan,
great job, Dan.
Stockholders are thrilled. We're about to bring this baby public, so let's buckle down and make sure we roll out the way we want to roll out. Okay, team?
That's right. We got one gripe. I got one gripe. Walter, you've got to stop sniffing glue.
Fucking Walter. God, he's always the one. Walter.
It's always Walter. Always Walter. No, it's the 4th of July, man. I had a night, you know?
Yeah, I
had
a
night.
I know. I can see it all over you. You got the mustache going. You've got 4th of July glasses. You've got a hat on backward. You've got tie-dye sweatpants.
Yeah.
A hanging shirt.
Yeah, it was one of those loose necks.
Yeah, from the commercial with the where they're on a date and
it's
like, oh my god, your collar's horrible. I need to end this date. Your collar on your V-neck it's stretched out.
Oh, but by the way, I mean the way they stretch it out for the commercial, I would walk away too. I mean it's absurd. They give it no reality whatsoever.
Right, the wardrobe guy's like, is this enough? No, stretch it out more. Stretch it out more.
They're like, but it's going to be this belly button. Like, we don't care. We have to prove a point here, Walter.
So what'd you do where you had your night? And how much of it do you remember?
The whole thing was fucking nuts. I mean, I don't want to get into all my life again because it's just so fucking boring for everyone. But there's so much going on. Fourth of July was good. Had a cocktail in the morning, you know, to like right the ship and just be like, all right, here we go. I had an amazing outfit of these really short overalls, you know, like these American overalls and a headband and glasses. I mean, I was looking fantastic. We went into town, had a good time, drank some more, and it was hot as shit. And then we came back here and I was supposed to barbecue, but I just hit a wall. And so the second half of the night was me just trying to, you know, maintain stability. And then finally, I'm like, I got to get out of here. And I actually just went to bed. But everyone else stayed up and had a good time. But I hit a big wall. I hit a big ass wall. I got a little too excited. I went too fast.
You know what that's called? That's called shooting your wad too early.
I did.
You shot
your normally wall. Though, I'm okay with that. But you know, I'm a fragile little baby right now, so I've got to maintain. I can't shoot wads early.
I know, but you should be. I'm just going to say this. I'm not a clinical psychologist, and I refuse to talk about any of this shit one more time. But
I know.
You should be over this by now. It's been years since you've been getting off this Lexapro. I don't know how long we've done this podcast. You've been coming down off this thing for like two calendar years. It's time to move on.
Hey, dude, I fucking wish. I mean, we'll talk about it after, but there's been developments, you know. I don't want to get into it anymore. I'm so sick of myself, so sick of talking about it. But I did get a gig. I got a job. Deal's not closed yet. I don't know how much I'm like talk about it, but it doesn't really matter. It's in Albuquerque.
And they're not going to hear this.
Yeah, I know. But who knows? I don't know.
They're not going to hear it. I should talk about Jeopardy. I should say who wins on Jeopardy just to see how many people actually listen to this.
It's just a pure test.
Yeah, it airs August 9th. Folks, I can give you the winner. I can give you the winning answers. I can give you the final Jeopardy clue. I can tell you how much they wagered. I can tell you how much they ended up with.
I love that idea. That's a great just test to see who actually is listening to this thing.
If it could get us in trouble, if I did that during like the All-Star game on Fox, yes, then it would not be good.
Yeah.
But in this case, I think that we could probably reveal, like, we should have ex-presidents on here to talk about UFOs and see if it grows at all. Like, here's the real story about these UFOs.
I love this idea. I think this is a great idea to actually test the waters as to where our podcast is at, meaning just bring on some people that are going to rock the fucking world.
Yes. I'm excited about today's guest. I mean, how long have you and I wanted to have Tiger Woods on?
Right. I mean, Jesus Christ.
And it's finally happening. It's finally happening.
But anyway, so I got this gig. When it rains, it pours, man. It's so weird in the business that I'm in. You know, you're out of work and then you're like, oh man, what's next? And how am I going to work again? And it's always this sort of thought that goes through your mind. And then boom, two jobs come about within like 2 hours of each other. The first one was sort of a pilot. Shoots in LA. it was cute. And then 6 hours later, an hour later, boom, another one comes in that is an actual show that is on the air. That is going to be on the air. But it shoots in Albuquerque. And I had to make this decision. Zero or one of the two. And, you know, I've chosen Albuquerque, but it's tough. Because for those of you who don't know, when you sign on to a deal for a television show, you don't just sign on for a year, you know, for network TV. It's a six-year deal. Now, they can cancel you anytime that they want, but they can hold you and keep going for 6 years. So essentially in success, that means if I go to Albuquerque and work, I could be there for six fucking years. So this is a big decision. Relating this back to daddy issues, you know, my kids, my family are extremely important to me, as everybody knows. And it's a very, very, very hard decision to make, you know, because I need to be with my family. So
when you say I have to be in Albuquerque, what does that mean? How what's the time commitment in Albuquerque?
Well, okay. It's a good question, Joe. Thank you for asking.
Yes. Hi, Walter, Joe Buck. Walter's going to take this one. Yeah. I'd like to direct this at Walter. What kind of a time commitment does this mean for Oliver in Albuquerque? Walter, go ahead.
Thank you, Joe. Very good question. So here's the thing. For this specific time period, it shoots from like beginning of August to mid-November. Not bad. I can deal with it. Albuquerque's an hour and a half away. It's an easy flight. It's an ensemble cast, and I'm not in a ton in the beginning, so I'm going to have some time to get back and forth. My kids can come see me. All right, you know.
Yeah.
In success, if the character starts to build and get and become more of a prominent voice in the show, you know, then you're there, man. I mean, you are there, and then you're sort of hoping for three-day weekends or, you know, some time off here and there or, you know. Like the lead of the show, the girl who's the lead, she's in every fucking scene. So she lives in Albuquerque. Like that is where her home is going to be.
Is this Breaking Bad 2? Is that what you're in? Breaking Bad 2?
I wish. That would be cool.
Wasn't that set in Albuquerque?
I think that's shot in Albuquerque too, yeah.
Better Call Ollie.
It's a good show. I like that.
The backstory of how Oliver Hudson became Ollie.
Going back, it's like Benjamin Button, you know. We go backwards.
Yeah, I like that. It hasn't been done.
No.
I mean, on TV. So, no. So it does. I have a million questions about this.
Yeah.
Does the script seem promising?
Yeah, it's good. You know, I mean, I saw the pilot. And the actors are great, and it's a fun show. It's an hour show. It's not procedural, you know, but it's just sort of a, you know, fun sort of mafia kind of vibe.
Are any Levies in it?
Yeah, there's some Chevys, too, that we drive to the Levies.
No, I mean Eugene Levy, his son.
Oh, no, there's no Levies. I think it's Levy, okay. Isn't it?
I don't know. I don't care. But he's not coming on either.
But
except
it's fun.
He's actually going to follow Tiger today in today's episode.
Oh, we could get Eugene. I know him. That'd be a fun guest. That'd be a fun guest, actually.
It would be. So, all right. So yeah. That's good. So is your character kill offable? Are you a superhero? Are you?
No, I mean, you can kill me off if you want. No. So I'm like sort of an FBI agent. You know, I don't know how much I can like say about it all, but it's again, no one's.
Did
really
you do one of these auditions into your phone? And can I see?
No,
it?
No, these were offers. These were offers.
So that means you're big time, because typically don't you have to come in and read for one of these things? So they go, oh my God, we got to get Oliver Hudson. Look, we had you flattering. In mind.
It's honestly flattering. It's really cool. I mean, the fact that two of these things would come in and the last thing I did was an offer. And, you know, it makes me feel good. There's no doubt about it. You know,
you should know this. My shit. I ended up playing golf with Jason Bateman.
You did?
We had a blast. Yeah, you and I have not talked in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, plausibly, we did fake an episode with Sarah Chalk last week that was recorded, I think, in 1991.
86. It was 86. Yeah. It was
my when junior the Mets year blew the
World Series, yeah.
Yeah, no.
When the Mets then, won the World the, Series.
They won in the Red Sox.
Yeah, sorry.
So, yeah. So I haven't talked to you, but Bateman, you know, does the show Ozark, which they shoot in Georgia outside of Atlanta. And he is flown back and forth every week from Atlanta to LA for the weekend, every week over the months long shoot that they do. And that's just part of his deal. If I'm going to do Ozark season four, which I think they're splitting up into seasons four and five, he gets air travel in a very luxurious way back and forth every week.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Work that into your deal.
Well, I mean, you know, 100%. And honestly, it's about putting it into perspective. You know, this is just what I have to do. This is what I do for my family. It's how I make money. You know, I mean, it's my job. And when I put it into perspective and think about a lot of these other people who have it a lot worse off than I do, you know, I mean, how about
you're going to be fine. You're going to be inspired.
The military, you know, these boys and women who fucking go overseas and they're away from their kids for 18 months and shit. I mean, I have nothing to complain about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I have zero to complain about.
Yeah.
But
no, I'm very happy.
I can't help it
you.
Hitting me.
That's the
I
bottom can't help line. It hitting I'm very me, happy.
Yeah,
for
no,
you.
Thank you. Thank you. And it's a good role. It's a fun role.
You know what I would do if I were you? Fun. I'd get back on Lexapro.
Well, if you want to know, I'm not back on Lexapro. I'm trying something different.
I'm on Marzipan. Something else.
Yeah, I'm on Marzipan.
Marzipan.
I've got a special chef who makes me Marzipan. What if they put me on Marzipan? I'm like, wait a minute, you guys. Like, no. Oh, trust me. This is it. This is the new shit.
No, this is it. You want to feel good. You want to feel good in your own skin. Marzipan.
No, I'm on a new something. I'm on a new drug. You know, it got to the point where I was like, I just need to, I need to even out. I need to maintain. I've got to go do this job, you know, so I got on a drug called Trintellix. I don't know what the
Trintellix,
fuck it is. But
that's what I'm on. You and I are on the same one now.
Oh, are you really?
Yes, and Michelle is on it, and we are a Trintellix family, the three of us.
Oh, can I ask you a quick question? Like, does it? I know you don't have to put it on, but I just now I'm curious because did you feel it noticeably help you?
I don't know. I feel like that's an impossible question to answer. I don't remember how I felt off it. I don't really know how I feel on it. I don't know what to attribute to the drug. I don't know what to attribute to external factors, internal factors that challenge and change your mood every minute. I have no idea. But I the side effects are zero that I've experienced, which is why a lot of people are going to it. Mm-hmm. And I guess it helps. I don't know.
How many milligrams?
The middle dose, not the
10?
Might be 20. I think it's 10, 20, 50. I don't know. What do you want? 10?
10 to start, but maybe I should go on 100.
I think you should. I think you should just OD on Trintellix. What happened to Oliver? I don't know. We found this bottle of antidepressants.
Right.
And
he was
tried
too happy.
He was too happy. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I just know that we're in the family. Isn't that amazing?
Why did that all of a sudden make me feel better?
Strength in numbers.
I guess
strength
so.
Strength in numbers. And you see how well put together I am.
If you like conversations between myself and Joe, like on today's episode, take a dive into the Daddy Issues archives and listen to episode 34, Moons Over Miami, which is my favorite dish at Denny's, where we discuss everything from Denny's to mole checks to camping, late night talk shows, and so much more. But we decided to do some camping, and it's always hit or miss with a camp spot, right? Usually you hit. This was a bit of a miss. You know, I could hit a 7-iron to Denny's. We didn't know that there was going to be a Denny's there. When you go onto these hip camps or these
Why is that a bad thing?
When you're camping, you're out in the most beautiful places and you're away from everything. We thought this was going to be that. When you are on these websites and they show you the pictures, they're not showing you what's behind them. Everything is looking out into the vista, and you're like, oh, right. This looks pretty. I don't know. Let's check it out. There's goats, and there's this, and there's that. And then you get there, and you're like, oh, shit. Okay. Well, here we are.
You know what other entity does that same kind of picture framing?
Hmm.
Denny's.
Yeah.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this short break with more from Oliver and me. I just saw a sports psychologist for my upcoming golf tournament in Tahoe.
You did?
I did. I did.
You are awesome.
Yes, I did. Yeah. I did. His name's Jason Selk. He lives in St. Louis. He used to do a lot of the Cardinals, and now he's grown well beyond St. Louis. He's written a couple of books, one of which I read, another one I'm waiting to read. And then we did a Zoom call about things that I need to go through.
Let's dive into this. Let's dive into this right fucking now. I'm so curious.
Yeah.
So how did this start?
This started because I can play great golf and then show up at an event like this and just completely lose my mind and go 100 miles an hour, which is all about performance anxiety. And it's the only time I have it. Like if I do we talked a lot about broadcasting, and if I do a Super Bowl for 110 million people, I have zero performance anxiety. It's live. It should be the most dangerous time of my career, and it should be the most challenging and the most worrisome, and I just don't have that. I'm excited to do it. Yeah, I'm a little bit nervous, but I tend to thrive in those situations. And now here I am playing in a, you know, slappy golf tournament in Tahoe, and I care more about the results for that, which is absurd. Nobody cares. The only person that really cares is me and three of my friends, you being one of them, who are going to either give me shit or say, hey, great playing. And beyond that, 5 seconds later, nobody cares. So I saw him like, why do I care so much? And how do I slow down to perform better when it's not what I do for a living? And, you know, talking about centering breaths and talking about, it's almost like transcendental meditation, which I learned from my friend Teo, and having that mantra and repeating that mantra and having something that just kind of brings you back to center. And you're not, you know, when you have performance anxiety or you're, you know, he works with Major League Baseball players and football players and track and field athletes, your heart rate goes up. And when your heart rate goes up because you're nervous, everything speeds up and you're not performing like you typically do. And trying to flush a lot of that as best you can is why I ended up seeing him. So I got a lot of different thoughts, different clues, something I'm working on every day, which I think will actually help me in life as much as it'll help me in the upcoming golf tournament. And I do think I honestly care less now about the results than I ever have. But I've been in Cabo this for the last month working on it. I'm playing as well as I can play going into it. And then we'll see if I can maintain that kind of level for an event that nobody really cares about. And I have no chance of winning anyway. So it's just silly.
That's great, though. That's fun. Yeah. I would love to see a sports psychologist. I mean, I need any psychologist, but like a sports psychologist, how much does it relate to just regular psychology?
How much is sports
and how much is just regular?
Yeah, I think a lot, because he asked some questions that made me think about things in ways that I never have. And you know, doing what I do for a living and talking live into a microphone in front of that many millions of people every week, you know, realizing a lot of the things that I've done that I tend to not really even notice and almost take for granted. And I think in the outside world, he's like, you know, you don't need to be one of the best at more than one thing in life. And this, beyond your own mind, nobody there really cares how you play. In fact, you're more relatable if you don't play well. So who cares? It doesn't matter. But it was more involved than that. And having a six, I'll just give you this one part that I think is okay. Helpful. Having a centering breath that you pull down into your low belly for 6 long seconds, hold for 2, let out for 7. So it's 6, 2, 7. And having that breath just fill you up, down into your belly, hold for 2 seconds, and then let out for 7 seconds is a way to just calm your heartbeat and go back to kind of where the present instead of, you know, I think a lot of times when I play golf and I hit a bad shot, you should be able to flush it and let that go. And now the only thing that should matter is the next shot. Well, I go to the next shot thinking about the shot that already happened.
Yeah,
and of course. That's so counterproductive.
So is the breath, the breath is supposed to be done like just before the shot, meaning like, you know, as
before the shot. And so he's like, okay, go ahead and do it. And I'm like, you know, doing it. He's like, okay, now try to do it where it doesn't look like you're hyperventilating. Like nobody would know that you are actually taking a centering breath.
Like imagine, because by the way, for everyone listening, this shit is televised. So I hope they catch Joe doing some hardcore aggressive breath.
Who is the, who's the player over there breathing into a paper bag?
And he pulls his head out of the bag. Oh God.
This
Joe
shot.
Buck in the paper bag.
Oh, looks like he's thrown up now. And this is for double bogey here at the fourth hole. But having a statement about my full swing and having a statement about my putting, and it's two or three things saying, you know, like for me, it's going to be confident, slow down, 6, like on a scale of 1 to 10, how fast do I want to go? Well, for some guys that he helps on tour, it's a 7. For me, I'm like, I need to think 6 out of 10 because if I think 7 is still kind of fast to me, and 6 will actually make me a 7. So, and trying to stay confident while you do that and feel while I'm performing confident, having a mix of being confident, calm, and aggressive. And
you don't
want to
be a 9.
Those things.
You don't want to be a 9 because 7, 8, 9.
That,
you know what
that's
I mean?
That's right. Yeah. No, you're right. And I don't want to be 10. Yeah. I don't want to be 10 because then Dudley Moore will be, you know, scrambling after me with binoculars. There's 6 people listening to this that even understand what the hell I'm talking about. But
I love that you did good. That, though. That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm excited for you, and I'm mad for whatever fucking reason. I played in Tahoe 100 years in a row, and they just stopped inviting me. But
well, that's where you and I met.
I know, Tahoe. If you're listening, what the fuck?
Well, once you do the show out of Albuquerque, Breaking Bad 2, you're gonna be there. They're gonna start the invite list with you, and then.
Yeah.
You know, they'll filter down to the Michael Jordans and the, you know, the others after you. So
that's right.
You know, that's another reason to take the gig in Albuquerque.
Are you going with the kids?
So we leave. We've been in Mexico. This is my last day in Mexico, last full day. Been here for over a month, and it's been awesome. None of us want to leave. The boys don't want to leave. They've been taking swimming lessons every day. Mm. They're 3-year-olds. We have this teacher, Manny, who's amazing, who's got a whole school down here. He teaches surfing, teaches skateboarding, teaches swimming, teaches all age groups. And somehow we got him, I think because it's the summer and it's not as busy as it typically would be. So
how hot is it, by the way?
It's unbelievable. It's cool. It's not even hot. It's been breezy because a hurricane kind of went near here and it's been breezy. I've worn a sweater to like a, you're not sweating at dinner. It's
wow,
you know, whatever. And so none of us want to leave. Even Michelle, we're going to Denver. She gets off with the boys and she goes to see her family. I go to Tahoe and then I come back to Denver on Sunday night after the golf event. And then the All-Star game is in Denver, Colorado next Tuesday. And then at the end of that week, we go home for the first time in a month and a half and you know, hopefully move into our new house. So that's where we are.
Dude, maybe I'll fucking drive down for the All-Star game.
That would be great.
I mean, it's only 4 hours away, or actually 3 hours, 3 hour drive.
Yeah. You and Aaron should come down.
That could be fun.
But last night, last thing I'll tell you about kind of our time in Mexico, I go down, they had a 4th of July party at the table walking in, Jim Nance and his family, Jordan Spieth and his family, Michael Jordan is down here.
What?
And staying on the property. And who else? There was one other person I was going to mention. I can't even think. But it's, yeah, Jim Nance is here and talked to him for a while. I've never been around. I've said on many shows, you know, they're like, who do you like listening to? And I say I steal from just about everybody. I've been around Al Michaels and a lot of these guys so much more than Nance. I didn't know him. And we had a nice talk last night. So it's just been the whole thing. Last night was a good way to end it. My daughters are down here. Their boyfriends are down here. So it's been a big family affair, and it's just been awesome.
Awesome, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, it sounds great. Sounds so good.
The only thing missing is my Trintellix pal and his wife, Aaron.
I know. Well, she's Celexa, so she's the odd one out.
Well, that's okay. My mom's been on Celexa since I think it had another name at one point. So, hey, we're all dipping into the bottle, so to speak.
That's great. That's great.
So when are you going back out of your little honey hole?
So
there, your
my situation is this. You know, I go to Albuquerque on August 2nd, and the kids hopefully were going to come and hang. I'll get settled, and I'll be back and forth a little bit, and then we go back. I think the end of August, we're back in LA, you know, and everything's great here. I mean, everything's amazing. It's Colorado. It's incredible.
But is it just you? You know? None of your family's there. Like
family's not here.
There.
Mom's in Greece. You know, Kate's in Greece doing a movie.
Oh my God. I've seen so many pictures of that whole thing.
Oh, I know. It's very
How does
Grecian.
That make you feel?
I mean, honestly,
do you need
I don't,
a centering I'm, breath? Do you need a centering breath before you answer
a
this?
A 6-7-2.
6-2-7. 6-2-7.
No, it makes me envious. I mean, I wish I was there. I mean, I wish it looks so fucking amazing. And I wish I was just, you know, at ease. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's funny. I see people on their vacations, including my sister. And it, like, even though I am in my happy place here in Colorado, but I just, it makes me wish I could just let everything go and just be at peace, if you want to know the truth, you know?
But
I don't know. Again,
you're assuming that the Instagram pictures, and the
I've fallen victim
New York Post
to
articles. Yeah. I mean, that's
meaning
every,
like everyone's
posed.
Life is perfect. And
yeah. I mean, I'm not just talking about Kate and your mom. That's everybody, which is what I warn my girls, you know, and we talk about this all the time. It's like, and they're not, they get it. They might be reminding me more than I'm reminding them. It's all garbage, like tuned up pictures of people in their most fake, most of the time, state, trying to present to the world this idyllic existence that is, it may be there, but that's not reality. That's not life.
Right. No, there's a lot of in between that, you know, is the reality of things, you know, and I don't try to post the perfect shit. You know, it's funny you're actually saying this. I had a moment of real clarity or not clarity, but just contentment. You know, they're few and far between, to be honest. And I was sitting down outside, and I was just feeling amazing. And it's a feeling that I don't have a lot. in the last few months, right? And I decided to film myself talking about it, you know, and talking about how fucked up everything has been for me and how hard it's been for me in the last little while and how this moment is just beautiful and clear and I'm just going to sit in it for however long it lasts, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And I was going to post it. And then I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? And I didn't.
Well, it's hard to be the one person, because, you know, that's but, being honest. Thinking,
like, why
Instagram.
Am I doing that? Why am I doing that? You know what I mean? Like, and then I started to question myself, do I want attention from this? Like, why would I post this? Is it to sort of let people know that I'm fucked up right now and like I'm having a nice moment? Or I just,
yes.
You know what I mean? And then I started to
you
question.
You want people to go, oh, Oliver, I love you. You're
right,
the best.
Right,
you're
right,
so
right.
Funny.
I was like,
you're so cute. You're, yeah.
Why am I doing this? Or am I trying to let people know that like I feel the same way that a lot of other people are feeling? I don't know. But then I decided not to, and I'm happy. I'm happy I didn't.
Well,
I'll
one
send
of the
you,
things.
I'll send you the video too. You'll fucking laugh.
Well, I won't, because I have a different perspective than somebody who doesn't know you might see on Instagram.
Yeah.
If you're enjoying this episode of Daddy Issues, you know what? Keep it to yourself. Don't tell anybody about it. Let's just make it our little secret. But if you want to tell other people, you can share the love and tell a friend about Daddy Issues and go subscribe on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this short break with more from me and Joe.
One of the things I started with, and maybe this, and you and I are very different in a lot of ways, but one of the things I started with Jason Selk, the sports psychologist, was, you know, he's like, all right, tell me about your golf game. I'm like, I don't know. I can't putt. He goes, just stop. Stop. Stop with the self-deprecating bullshit.
Yeah.
I was making fun of, he's like, I've been talking to you for 4 minutes. I talked about all the stuff we talk about on here. The fat kid stuff. The, you know, that doesn't go away. The being made fun of. I wanna perform in front of people, and I'm this, but I'm trying to be this. And he's like, just stop with that. I get it. You're humble. You want to be humble. You want to project humility because everybody thinks you have the world beat. Stop with that. You need to be more positive about yourself. You need to be, you know, are you a great putter? No, I'm learning how to be a great putter. That's a better way to tell yourself, I suck at putting. I'm learning, I'm trying, he goes, don't even say trying. I'm learning to be a better putter. And then one of the things he said at the end, which it's like a five-step thing that I'm trying to do every day, is having an identity statement and having perspective. And, you know, one of the things I said is, he talked about my job, and I said, you know, I really feel like I perform my best when the stakes are the highest, at least in my work. And he's like, great, write that down. I perform my best when the stakes are at their highest. The other is, I'm empathetic and I experience true love as a husband and as a father.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond that, what really matters? What does if I get a 12 on a hole, or if I birdie it, or if I, you know, if something doesn't go right, that beyond I'm empathetic and I experience true love as a husband and a father, what more do you really, what are you thinking about when you're taking your last breath? What are you, I think about that all the time with my dad in intensive care and at the end saying, when you get here, it's too late. And all the trivial stuff that you worry about, we all just stew over and obsess on all day, every day, does not matter. So have these things as kind of the pillars of your life and what you continue to tell yourself. And you're not lying to yourself, that you're not putting on something that's not true. Mm-hmm. So remind yourself of that and stop occupying your mind with the negative. Stop occupying your mind with, you know, stuff that is just counter to thriving. And that's important to me.
No, thank you, man. That's true. I mean, I have to keep reminding myself of that, you know. It's just because it can get self-deprecating. You can just beat yourself down. I'm fucked up. I'm this, I'm that.
Yeah.
You know, rather than I'm getting better. You know, every day I'm working on getting better, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I need. I definitely have to change my.
I mean, you only have so much time with your thoughts, and if your thoughts are constantly on the negative side, what do you think's coming out? If you replace that time and those thoughts with positive, you know, in this case, almost like a mantra, but positive, positive vibes, positive thoughts, positive, you know, whatever. That's what is going to come out of you. So I think there is value in that.
Yeah, I mean, negative thoughts create negative emotions, and then that's what creates the stress and anxiety and fear, honestly. And it's all bullshit. You know, anxiety is about the projection of anxiety is about the future, you know, and depression is almost about the past in a sense. So it's just this sort of always, you know, oh my God, what if, what's happening, what's this? And then it spirals. That's the thing too. It becomes uncontrollable for me. You know, last night I went down with a major, major attack of some kind where it was scary, where I couldn't breathe, where I thought I was going to pass out. I was worried. I was like, even though I've had them before my 20s, I was like, oh fuck. Aaron's like, you're all right, and blah, blah, blah. And I got through it, but I went to bed, but it was so scary. You can't, it's like you can't control it. And you just like, am I gonna fucking die right here? You know, it's that intense.
But nothing changed. The only thing that changed, nothing in your outside of you and around you changed at that moment. Mm-hmm. The only thing that changed was that you started obsessing about something that was in your mind that you were worried about, which didn't manifest itself. And you're just
worried. Now, my mom, you're talking to you, having a good time. You know what I mean? Like, so yes, I mean, you take solace in the fact that you can't come out of it. You know what I mean? Because it brings some positivity there. Because like, oh wait, this isn't my life. This isn't how I'm gonna live forever. It was a moment, and I'm going through whatever it is I'm going through. And for whatever reason, there will be an answer at some point. You know, I do believe in that. You know, I don't believe in some higher power, God, you know, with his hands on people and doing shit. But I do believe that there are reasons for things, and then you find them later on. And a year from now, I might look back at this and be like, holy shit, like, thank God I went through that, because this is who I am now, you know?
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question about the TM stuff, though. How do you get a mantra? And I've never studied TM, or I don't even know what the hell. I know it's, you know, transcendental meditation, but what is the, how does it work?
Well, you go through, like, in my case, so my friend Tao Burkhart, who I've known forever, is an LA guy. So when you're there, I'll hook you up with him. Mm-hmm. He walks you through. It's almost like a ritual, a ceremony, and he goes through the explanation of it all. Then we'll give you a mantra, and then that's the word that you repeat over and over to yourself to allow yourself to kind of let go and just stay exactly what you're talking about in the present instead of. Wonder, 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 worry, worry, worry. It's a way to, and what I didn't know is when I would meditate, and I need to do it more, I need to be better at it, but he's like, it's okay if other thoughts come in. It's okay if this is not an all or nothing proposition. Just even having 20 minutes in some place other than your bed to be quiet and just breathe and be in the present, there's value in that, whether you believe in it or not, and whether there are other thoughts coming in or not. And, you know, that's so he gave me the mantra. I remember my mantra. I remember the word. He gave Michelle a word. And you're never supposed to say your word out loud.
Yeah, I know that. I know that. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm glad I did it. I did it for a while. I loved it. And then I lost it. And then I stopped.
But it is a word that. It's a word that's meaningful in some way. It's not like banana.
It's right? In my case, I don't know. In my case, it's kind of a made up word, and it's
what
something
I mean.
That's supposed to take you back to that moment,
right?
Of when you were going through this process and allow you to relax.
Yes. Okay.
And turn off.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he goes on trips to India, and he goes on. I mean, he's all over the world teaching this stuff, and has this whole community, and I assume at some point at night they're all sitting around like transcendentally meditating and their eyes are rolling back into their heads. That would be the time when it would be good to just sneak into their camp and steal their wallets. But
they don't have
that's
wallets.
What he does. Yeah, right. They're beads. And and sneak away or put their fire out, and they can't find you in the dark.
No, they trade in like seashells. That's their form of currency.
It's not exactly Bitcoin. And for teaching me, I give you one seashell. And this
one seashell.
Oh my Lord! What a beautiful seashell created
Bukkake,
by nature.
Bukkake gave me one seashell.
I told you, do not say his name out loud. That's not a name that we...
You know what happens when you say his name. It brings all the others. And then bad things happen, Bukkake. Oh, I said it. Run!
Oh, and Michelle just walked in.
Michelle...
Hey, babe, guess who else is on Trintellix? Oliver's on Trintellix now.
Oh.
Hold on, I've been listening to...
Hi, babe.
Hey, babe.
Get in there.
Joe, I had to go back on some shit because life is a little nutty, and I tried, and I not say I failed. Yeah. I just need to, But did you notice, because Joe said it sort of didn't, but did you notice a difference after taking it for whatever amount of time where you sort of felt a different way?
Yes. Well, so I've only been taking it for maybe 2 weeks, not even.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And I think after, we'll call it 10 days, after maybe day 5, I just started to feel a bit of my sleep anxiety, which would start earlier and earlier each day, to kind of dissipate. So I don't think about how the hell am I going to fall asleep tonight at 2 p.m. or 6 p.m. So I do think it helps. Now, physically speaking, I think that it makes me a little nauseous, and I'm hoping that that just will subside. But I don't know if you feel that way either, but it makes me just a smidge nauseated when I take it.
But other than I just started.
Yeah. Let me know. I mean, how it goes. I think it's making a difference for me. And
I notice a difference in her, and I'm not being, I know we're always joking around, but I do notice a little lighter person around me than the person that was there before starting Trintellix. Me, on the other hand, I'm no lighter at all.
No, you're a little bit lighter, babe.
Do you notice anything with Joe? For real?
No, I don't.
No, you don't notice anything with Joe.
Just tell him good stuff so he just feels good about himself. Do you not know Oliver yet? Just lie.
No, he wants to know if I noticed anything good in you.
I know. I can hear.
Oh,
I can hear.
Okay.
Yeah. What milligrams are you on?
5.
Okay.
And what about you?
I'm 5.
Yeah.
I'm on 10.
You're on 10.
Yeah.
I think Joe's on 10 as well.
There you go. I'm on 10. That's the answer to your question. Good. I thought I was on 20.
All right. Well, I'm happy to be a part of your Trintellix family.
Yes.
And I think it just brings us closer.
I think it does too. I didn't think it was possible, but I mean, I'm surprised every day. Okay.
Holy Our kids are freaking
kids.
Out.
I hear them. Okay. I hear them. All right. Go.
Love you, Ollie.
Love you, baby.
Oh, these kids.
I know.
These kids. They are the antidote. They are Trintellix antidote.
They're the anti-venom. But the kids have been having a blast, huh?
Oh, so good. I feel like they've grown up so much over the last month, and getting them out of the routine of being in St. Louis and the same thing every day and the same room and the same... Yeah, their minds are expanded and knowing, what being out on the ocean and being in a pool and learning how to swim and being brave enough to go down. I mean, Wyatt is crazy, but his ability to just go down to the bottom and pick up rings and this guy right here, Blake is getting better, and seeing them push one another has been unbelievable. So it's been great for everybody.
Awesome. I know. Wilder, man. My kids, and Wilder especially, he's 13. We've talked about this, but it's just puberty more. It's more and more and more. And then the other night, you know, I have him on Life 360 so I can just see where he is, you know, because he's got a phone. And he's in at a movie theater with one of his friends. And it's like 10:30 and they're just wandering around. And I'm like, what the hell is he doing? And he's like, I was over here at Wendy's and he's over here. And it turns out like him and his friend Asher are with two girls, like for the first time that I've known, where he's like, you know, doing his thing and hanging out with a couple girls.
Just like dad taking the ladies to a nice spot like Wendy's.
That's right. They went to Wendy's. I taught him. I'm like, look, if you're going to take a girl out, you go to Wendy's, you know, because it's not McDonald's. It's a little step above. Square Patty's shows that you're a little different. You know? Yeah,
go Square Patty. You know, Wendy herself was Dave Thomas's daughter. That's how the name came about. I mean, I know the whole history.
That's right. And Dave Thomas, you know, started at St. Jude's. So it's all good.
Really? No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that Marlo Thomas's dad? Brother?
No.
No.
But, dude, he takes 80 showers a day. Wonder what he's
Dave
doing.
Dave Thomas?
Yeah. No, my son. He's so particular about his hair. He, like, parts it down the middle. Now he wants, like, a perfect middle part. He's got to let it set perfectly, like, dry. I'm like, Jesus, man, this is... I wasn't even like this. He's, like, into it right now. You know, he's got his little dirty mustache coming in. He's so... You know, just I'm like, he's in... Because he can't shave it. He's not there yet, but you kind of want him to. Because you're like, Jesus, it's just like this little dirty little mustache.
Right. Yeah.
So
I have so many things that are coming to mind that I just can't say.
Oh, I know.
It's not appropriate.
I know. Well, then just don't.
Well, good. Well, that means he's, you know, he's coming into his own. He's about to fly the coop. Just like you.
He is.
You know, he's 13.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, he's 13.
And we've already established what you were doing at 15.
Yeah.
So we got a big jump from Wendy's to what you were doing.
Yeah, he will
in
not
less
be
than
what
2 years.
There's no chance, you know. He's just not that kind of kid.
And look
There's
how
no
you
way.
Turned out. Ready to post something on Instagram about how sad you are?
Like, I know. Fuck. You know, it's funny because I was talking to my mom about all this shit, and you know she's like, "Honey, think about your life. Think about how you came into this world." And actually, this is not something I don't think I've shared on this podcast, but you know, I almost died at birth. I had meconium aspiration. In 76, they don't take the baby out. They like let you just bake in there until it comes out. I was 3 weeks late, weighed 11 fucking pounds, and I basically ate shit and almost died. I took a dump inside the womb of meconium and then inhaled it. So I came out C-section and was immediately rushed to the NICU because my lungs were filled with meconium, which is basically tar.
Right. And you came out completely full of shit.
I was full of shit. Not much has changed. But so I was in this bassinet or whatever with needles in my head, and I had a breathing tube I was being breathed for almost a month. You know, my mom and dad would come in, but only be able to touch me through the gloves or whatever. You know, so she's like, "That's how you started life." And she's like, "No wonder that you're anxious all your life and fucked up and weird." You know?
Your mom thinks that just, you know, stays with you, that you're scarred from the way you came in, scarred from tar.
Yeah. Look at your wife behind you.
We gotta go.
Okay.
You look good, girl. That stomach's looking tight.
We gotta go. We got to go to the swim lesson now.
All right, go to the swim lesson. Anyway,
we only have one. Okay.
You can go. We're good. You know that.
Tiger hasn't even come on yet.
Oh, he just hit me up.
Yeah, and
yeah, he can't right now. He says next time. He said next time.
God, we've been. I mean,
I know. Don't worry. Look, you gotta at least he's willing. You know what I mean? At least he wants to. He's just, he gets busy.
Right.
He gets busy.
Well, next time, whatever that means.
Well, Go do your swim lessons. I'm going to continue my meconium aspiration story later.
Hey, if you're enjoying this episode with Oliver and Joe and you want to hear about Oliver coming into the world gargling shit, keep listening after this short break.
Help me. Oh, gosh. Poor me. Poor fucking me.
Poor me. You know what? I'd get over the first, Christ, get the over first it, 10 Oliver. Seconds of your life. I think you can transcend above the first 10 seconds of your life.
Yeah. I just need I need a mantra to transcend.
Right. You do. There. See, it's all coming back around. All right. Great. Congrats on the gig in Albuquerque.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you, buddy.
I'm going to send you all those Bugs Bunny memes with the... Remember
oh,
that?
Yeah.
You take
yeah,
a ride yeah. in Albuquerque.
Take a ride in Albuquerque.
Yeah. All right. Peace all right. be with
Love
you.
Love you, pal. Peace Bye. Be with you.
Love you.
Listen to Daddy Issues on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Daddy Issues is a production of Cavalry Audio and iHeartMedia, produced by Margot Carmichael.
Sound engineering and editing by Josh Windisch.
Executive produced by Joe Bach, Oliver Hudson, Dana Brunetti, and Keegan Rosenberger.